Chapter 25. "One of them has to break," the queen said to the princess. "Only then can it begin." "I know," the princess said softly. "But the prince isn't ready. It has to be her." "Then do you understand what I am asking of you?" The princess looked up, toward the shaft of moonlight spilling into the tomb. When she looked back at the ancient queen, her eyes were bright. "Yes." "Then do what needs to be done." The princess nodded and walked out of the tomb. She paused on the threshold, the darkness beyond beckoning to her, and turned back to the queen. "She won't understand. And when she goes over the edge, there will be nothing to pull her back."
"She will find her way back. She always does."
Tears formed, but the princess blinked them away. "For all our sakes, I hope you're right." Chapter 26. Kaol hated hunting parties. Many of the lords could barely handle a bow, let alone be stealthy. It was painful to watch them, and the poor hounds bursting through the brush, trying to scatter game that the lords would miss anyway. Usually, just to get things over with, he would discreetly kill a few animals and then pretend Lord so-and-so had done it. But the king, Parrington, Roland, and Dorian were all out in the game park today, which meant he had to keep close to them. Whenever he rode close enough to the lords to overhear their laughing and gossiping and harmless scheming, he sometimes let himself wonder if that was how he would have wound up had he not chosen this path. He hadn't seen his younger brother in years. Had his father allowed Taryn to turn into one of these idiots? Or had his father sent him to train as a warrior, as all lords of Aniel had done in the centuries after the wild mountain men had preyed upon the city on the Silver Lake? As Kaol trailed behind the king, his new Asterion stallion earning many admiring and envious glances from the hunting party, Kaol allowed himself to consider, for one heartbeat, what his father would make of Selena. His mother was a gentle, quiet woman, whose face had become a blurred memory in the years since he'd last seen her. But he still remembered her lilting voice and soft laugh, and the way she'd sung him to sleep when he was ill. Even though their marriage had been arranged, his father had wanted someone like his mother, someone submissive, which meant that someone like Selena. He cringed to even consider his father and Selena in a room together. Cringed, and then smiled, because that was a battle of wills that could go down in legend.
"You're distracted today, Captain,"
the king said as he emerged from between the trees. He was massive. The king's size always surprised Kaol for some reason. He was flanked by two of Kaol's guards, one of which was Ress, who looked more nervous than triumphant at being selected to protect the king today, though he was trying his hardest not to show it. It was why Kaol had also chosen Dannon, the other guard, older and weathered and possessing near-legendary patience. Kaol bowed to his sovereign, and then gave Ress a slight nod of approval. The young guard sat up straighter but remained alert, his focus now upon their surroundings, the lords riding nearby, the sounds of dogs and arrows. The king pulled his black horse alongside Kaol's, falling into a meandering walk. Ress and Dannon fell back a respectable pace, still close enough to intercept any lurking threat.
"Whatever will my lords do without you to kill their quarry for them?"
Kaol tried to hide his smile. Perhaps he hadn't been as discreet as he thought.
"Apologies, my lord."
Atop his war horse, the king looked every inch the conqueror he was. There was something in his eyes that sent a chill down Kaol's spine, and made him realize why so many foreign rulers had offered him their crowns instead of facing him in battle.
"I am having the Princess of Eelwe questioned in my council room tomorrow night,"
the king said quietly enough that only Kaol could hear, turning his stallion to follow after the pack of hounds that rushed through the thawing woods.
"I want 6 men outside the room. Make sure there are no complications or interruptions."
The look the king gave him suggested exactly the sort of complication he had in mind. Selena. Kaol knew it was risky to ask questions, but he said,
"Is there anything specific that I should prepare my men for?"
"No,"
the king said, knocking an arrow to his bow and firing at a pheasant that surged up from the brush. A clean shot, right through the eye.
That will be all.
The king whistled to his hounds and followed after the prey he'd killed, Ress and Dannon close behind. Kaol stilled his stallion, watching the mountain of a man ride through the thicket.
What was that about? Dorian said, suddenly beside him.
Kaol shook his head.
Nothing.
Dorian reached over his shoulder to the quiver strapped there and drew an arrow.
I haven't seen you for a few days. I've been busy.
Busy with his duties and busy with Selena.
I haven't seen you around either.
He made himself meet Dorian's gaze. Dorian's lips were pursed, his face stony as he quietly said,
I've been busy too.
The Crown Prince turned his horse away, heading in another direction, but paused.
Kaol,
he said, looking over his shoulder. Dorian's eyes were frozen, his jaw clenched.
Treat her well.
Dorian, he started, but the prince rode off to join Roland. Suddenly alone in the teeming forest, Kaol watched his friend disappear. Kaol didn't tell Selena what the king had said, though part of him twisted until it hurt. The king wouldn't hurt Nehemia, not when she was such a public and well-liked figure, not when he'd warned Kaol about that anonymous threat to Nehemia's life. But he had a feeling that whatever was going to be said in the council room wasn't going to be pleasant. Selena knowing or not knowing made no difference, he told himself, as he lay curled around her in his bed. Even if Selena knew, even if she told Nehemia, it wouldn't stop the conversation from taking place, and it wouldn't make the nameless threat go away. No, it would just make things worse if they knew. Worse for all of them. Kaol sighed, untangling his legs from Selena's as he sat up, and grabbed his pants from where he'd thrown them on the floor. She stirred, but didn't move. That was a miracle in itself, he realized, that she felt safe enough to sleep soundly with him. He paused gently to kiss her head, then picked up the rest of his clothes from around the room and dressed, even though the clock had chimed only 3 not long ago. Perhaps it was a test, he thought as he slipped out the door of his chambers. Perhaps the king was testing Kaol to see where his loyalties lay, if he could still trust him. And if he learned that Selena and Nehemia were aware of the interrogation tomorrow, then there would only be one way for them to have learned. He just needed some fresh air, to feel the briny breeze off the aviary on his face. He'd meant it when he told Selena about someday leaving Rifthold with her, and he'd go to his death defending her secret about the men she wasn't killing. Kaol reached the dark, silent gardens and strode between the hedges. He'd kill any man who hurt Selena, and if the king ever gave him the order to dispatch her, then he'd plunge his sword into his own heart before he would obey. His soul was bound to hers by some unbreakable chain. He snorted, imagining what his father would think when he learned that Kaol had taken Otterlin's assassin for his wife. The thought stopped Kaol dead in his tracks. She was only 18. He forgot that sometimes. Forgot that he was older than her, too. And if he asked her to marry him right now...
God's above, he muttered,
shaking his head. That day was a long way off. But he couldn't help imagining it. The glimmer of the future, and how it would be to forge a life together, to call her his wife, to hear her call him husband, to raise a brood of children who would probably be far too clever and talented for their own good, and for Kaol's sanity. He was still envisioning that impossibly beautiful future, when someone grabbed him from behind and pressed something cold and reeking against his nose and mouth, and the world went black. Chapter 27 Kaol wasn't in his bed when she awoke, and Selena thanked the gods for their small mercies because she was certainly too worn out to bother running. His side of the bed was cold enough that she knew he'd left hours before, probably to fulfill his duties as captain of the guard. She lay there for a while, content to daydream, to imagine a time when they could have whole uninterrupted days with each other. When her stomach started growling, she decided it was a sign that she should drag herself out of bed. She'd taken to leaving some clothes in his room, so she bathed and dressed before returning to her own chambers. Over breakfast, a list of names arrived from Archer, written in code, as she'd asked, with more men to hunt down. She just hoped he wouldn't squeal on her again. Nehemia didn't show up for their daily lesson on the word marks, though Selena wasn't surprised by that either. She didn't particularly feel like talking to her friend, and if the princess was foolish enough to think of starting a rebellion, she'd stay well enough away from Nehemia until she came to her senses. It did halt her hope of finding a way to use the word marks to get through that secret door in the library, but that could wait, at least until both of their tempers had cooled. After spending the day in Rifthold stalking the men on Archer's list, Selena returned to the castle, eager to tell Kaol what else she'd learned. But he didn't show up for dinner. It wasn't that unusual for him to be busy, so she dined alone and curled up on the couch in her bedroom with a book. She probably needed some rest, too, since the word knew she hadn't been getting any sleep this past week. Not that she minded. When the clock struck 10 and he still hadn't come to her, she found herself walking to his rooms. Perhaps he was waiting for her there. Perhaps he'd just fallen asleep without meaning to. But she hurried down the halls and stairs, her palms turning slicker with each step. Kaol was captain of the guard. He held his own against her every day. He'd bested her in their first sparring match. Yet Sam had been her equal in many ways, too, and he'd still been caught and tortured by Rourke Farron. Still died the most brutal death she'd ever seen. And if Kaol... She was running now. Like Sam, Kaol was admired by almost everyone, and when they'd taken Sam from her, it hadn't been because of anything Sam had done. No, they'd done it to get at her. She reached his rooms, part of her still praying that she was just being paranoid, that he'd be sleeping in the bed, that she could curl up with him and make love to him and hold him through the night. But then she opened the door to his bedroom and saw a sealed note addressed to her on the table beside the door, placed atop his sword, which hadn't been there this morning. It was placed casually enough that the servants might have just assumed it was a note from Kaol himself and that nothing was wrong. She ripped open the red seal and unfolded the paper. "We have the captain. When you're tired of stalking us, come find us here." It listed the address for a warehouse in the slums of the city. "Bring no one or the captain will die before you set foot in the building. If you fail to arrive by tomorrow morning, we'll leave what's left of him on the banks of the Avery." She stared at the letter. Every one of the restraints she'd locked into place after she rampaged through Endovier snapped free. An icy, endless rage swept through her, wiping away everything except the plan that she could see with brutal clarity. The killing calm, Aerobin Hommel had once called it. Even he had never realized just how calm she could get when she went over the edge. If they wanted Otterland's assassin, they'd get her. And word help them when she arrived. Kaol didn't know why they'd chained him up, only that he was thirsty and had a pounding headache, and that the irons holding him against the stone wall weren't going to budge. They'd threatened to beat him every time he tried pulling against them. They'd already knocked him about enough to convince him they weren't bluffing. They. He didn't even know who they were. They all wore long robes and hoods that concealed their masked faces. Some of them were armed to the teeth. They spoke in murmurs, all of them growing increasingly on edge as the day passed. From what he could tell, he had a split lip and would have some bruises on his face and ribs. They hadn't asked questions before unleashing two of their men on him, though he hadn't been entirely cooperative once he'd awoken and found himself here. Selena would be impressed by just how creative his curses had been, before, during, and after that initial beating. In the passing hours, he'd only moved once to relieve himself in the corner, since when he asked to use the washroom, they just stared at him. And they'd watched him the entire time, hands on their swords. He'd tried not to snort. They were waiting for something, he realized with a strange clarity as the day stretched into evening. The fact that they hadn't killed him yet suggested that they wanted some sort of ransom. Maybe it was a rebel group, seeking to blackmail the king. He'd heard of nobility being captured for that reason, and heard the king himself order the rebels to kill the petty lord or lady, because he would not yield to traitorous filth. Kaol didn't allow himself to consider that possibility, even as he began saving up his strength for whatever stand he'd make before he met his end. Some of his captors whispered in rapid arguments, but they were usually silenced by others who told them to wait. He was just pretending to doze off when another of these arguments occurred, a hissing back and forth about whether they should just free him, and then, "She has until dawn. She'll show up." She. That word was the worst thing he'd ever heard, because there was only one she who would bother to show up for him. One she that he could be used against.
"You hurt her?" he said, his voice hoarse from a day without water. "And I'll rip you apart with my bare hands."
There were 30 of them, half fully armed, and they all turned to him. He bared his teeth, even though his face ached.
"You so much as touch her, and I'll gut you."
One of them, tall with two swords crossed over his back, approached. Even though his face was obscured, Kaol recognized him by his weapons as one of the men who had beaten him earlier. He stopped just beyond where Kaol's feet could kick.
"Good luck with that,"
the man said. By his voice, he could have been anywhere from 20 to 40.
"You'd better pray to whatever gods you favor that your little assassin cooperates."
He growled, pulling against the chains.
"What do you want from her?"
The warrior, he was a warrior, Kaol could tell by the way he moved, cocked his head.
"None of your business, captain. And keep your mouth shut when she arrives, or else I'll cut your filthy royal tongue."
Another clue. The man hated royals, which meant that these people... Had Archer known how dangerous this rebel group was? When he got free, he'd kill him for letting Selena get tangled up with them. And then he'd make sure that the king and his secret guards got their hands on all of these bastards. Kaol yanked on the chains, and the man shook his head.
"Do that, and I'll knock you out again. For the captain of the royal guard, you were far too easy to capture."
Kaol's eyes flashed.
"Only a coward captures men the way you did."
A coward? Or a pragmatist? Not an uneducated warrior, then. Someone with schooling, if he could use vocabulary like that.
"How about a damned fool?" Kaol said. "I don't think you realize who you're dealing with."
The man clicked his tongue.
"If you were that good, you would be more than captain of the guard."
Kaol let out a low, breathy laugh.
"I wasn't talking about me.
She's just one girl." Though his guts were twisting at the thought of her in this place, with these people, though he was considering every possible way to get himself and Selena out of here alive, he gave the man a grin.
"Then you're really in for a surprise."
Chapter 28. Her rage took her to a place where she only knew three things. That Kaol had been taken from her, that she was a weapon forged to end lives, and that if Kaol was hurt, no one was going to walk out of that warehouse. She made it across the city quickly and efficiently, a predator's stealth keeping her steps quiet on the cobblestone streets. They'd told her to arrive alone, and she'd obeyed. But they hadn't said anything about arriving unarmed. So she'd taken every weapon she could fit onto her, including Kaol's sword, which was strapped across her back with a second sword of her own, and the two hilts within easy reach over her shoulders. From there down, she was a living armory. When she neared the slums, her features concealed with a dark cloak and heavy hood, she scaled the side of a ramshackle building until she reached the roof. They hadn't said anything about using the front door of the warehouse either. She stalked across the roofs, her supple boots finding easy purchase on the crumbling emerald shingles, listening, watching, feeling the night around her. The usual sounds of the slums greeted her as she approached the enormous two-story warehouse, half-feral orphans screeching to each other, the splatter of drunks pissing against buildings, harlots calling out to prospective hires. But there was a silence around the wooden warehouse, a bubble of quiet, that told her the place had enough men out front that the usual slum denizens stayed away. The nearby rooftops were empty and flat, the gaps between buildings easily jumpable. She didn't care what this group wanted with her. She didn't care what sort of information they expected to twist from her. When they had taken Kaol, they'd made the biggest mistake of their lives. The last mistake, too. She reached the roof of the building beside the warehouse and dropped into a crawl before she reached the ledge and peered over. In the narrow alley directly below, three cloaked men patrolled. On the street beyond lay the front doors to the warehouse, light spilling from the cracks to reveal at least four men outside. No one was even looking at the roof. Fools. The wooden warehouse was a giant open space 3 stories high, and through the open second-level window in front of her, she could see all the way to the floor below. The mezzanine wrapped around much of the second level, and stairs led onto the third level and roof beyond, a possible escape route if the front door wasn't an option. 10 of the men were heavily armed, and 6 archers were positioned around the wooden mezzanine. Arrows all pointed at the first floor below. There was Kaol, chained to one of the wooden walls. Kaol, his face bruised and bleeding, his clothes ripped and dirty, his head hanging between his shoulders. The ice in her gut spread through her veins. She could scale the building to the roof, then come down from the third floor, but that would take time, and no one was looking at the open window before her. She tipped her head back and gave the moon a wicked smile. She'd been called Otterlin's assassin for a reason. Dramatic entrances were practically her art form. Selena eased back from the ledge and strode away a few paces, judging how far and fast she'd need to run. The open window was wide enough that she wouldn't need to worry about shattering glass or her swords catching on the frame, and the mezzanine had a guardrail to stop her if she overshot her landing. She had made a jump like this once before, on the night when her world had been shattered completely. But on that night, Sam had already been dead for days, and she'd leapt through the window of Rourke Farron's house for pure revenge. This time, she wouldn't fail. The men weren't even looking at the window when she hurtled through, and by the time she landed on the mezzanine and rolled into a crouch, 2 of her daggers were already flying. Kaol caught the glint of moonlight on steel, in the heartbeat before she leapt through the second-level window, landing atop the mezzanine and hurling 2 daggers at the archers nearest to her. They went down, and she went up, 2 more daggers thrown at 2 more archers. He didn't know if he should watch them or watch her as she gripped the mezzanine railing and flipped over it, landing on the ground below just as several arrows struck where her hands had held the rail. The men in the room were shouting, some fleeing for the safety of pillars and the exit, while others rushed at her, weapons drawn, and he could only watch in horror and awe as she drew 2 swords, one of them his, and unleashed herself upon them. They didn't stand a chance. In the fray of bodies, the remaining 2 archers didn't dare loose arrows that might hit one of their own. Another intentional move on her part, he knew. Kaol yanked on his chains again and again, his wrists aching. If he could just get to her, the 2 of them could... She was a whirlwind of steel and blood. As he watched her cut through the men as though they were stalks of wheat in a field, he understood how she'd gotten so close to touching Endovier's wall that day. And at last, after all these months, he saw the lethal predator he'd expected to find in the mines. There was nothing human in her eyes, nothing remotely merciful. It froze his heart. The guard who had been taunting him all day remained nearby, 2 swords drawn, waiting for her. One of the hooded men had gotten far enough away from her to start shouting, "Enough! Enough!" But Selena didn't listen, and as Kaol hurled himself forward, still trying to dislodge the chains from the wall, she cleared a path through the men, leaving moaning bodies in her wake. To his credit, his tormentor stood his ground as she stalked toward him. "Don't shoot!" the hooded man was ordering the archers. "Don't shoot!" Selena paused in front of the guard, pointing a blood-drenched sword at him. "Get out of my way, or I'll cut you into pieces."
His guard, the fool, snorted, lifting his swords a little higher.
Come and get him.
Selena smiled, but then the hooded man with the ancient voice was rushing to them, arms spread to show he wasn't armed.
Enough! Put down your weapons! He told the guard.
The guard faltered, but Selena's words remained at the ready. The old man took one step toward Selena.
Enough! We have enough enemies as it is. There are worse things out there to face.
Selena slowly turned to him, her face splattered with blood and eyes blazing bright.
No, there aren't, she said, because I'm here now.
Blood that was not her own drenched her clothes, her hands, her neck. But all she could see were the archers ready on the mezzanine above her, and the foe still standing between her and Kaol. Her Kaol.
Please,
the hooded man said, pulling off his hood and mask to reveal a face that matched his ancient voice. Short cropped white hair, laugh lines around his mouth, and crystal clear gray eyes that were wide with pleading. Perhaps our methods were wrong, but... She pointed a sword at him, and the masked guard between her and Kaol straightened.
I don't care who you are and what you want.
I'm taking him now.
Please listen, the old man said softly.
She could feel the ire and aggression rolling off the hooded guard in front of her. See how tightly, eagerly he clutched the hilts of his twin swords. She wasn't ready for the bloodletting to end either. She wasn't ready to give in at all. So she knew exactly what would happen when she turned to the guard and gave him a lazy grin. He charged. As she met his swords, the men who were outside burst in, steel flashing. And then there was nothing but metal ringing, and the sounds of the injured going down around her. And she was soaring through them, delighting in the feral song that sang through her blood and bones. Someone was shouting her name, though. A familiar voice that wasn't Kaol's. And as she turned, she saw the flash of a steel-tipped arrow shooting for her, then a glint of golden brown hair, and then... Archer hit the ground, the arrow that was meant for her in his shoulder. It took all of 2 movements to drop one sword and draw the dagger from her boot, hurling it at the guard who had fired. By the time she looked at Archer, he was getting to his feet, putting himself between her and the wall of men, one arm splayed in front of her, facing her, protecting the men.
This is a misunderstanding, he said to her, panting.
Blood from the wound in his shoulder leaked down his black robes.
Robes?
The same robes that these men wore.
Archer was a part of this group.
Archer had set her up.
And then that rage, the rage that blurred the events of the night she'd been captured with the events of this night,
that made Kaol's and Sam's faces bleed together, seized her so fiercely that she reached for another dagger strapped to her waist.
Please,
Archer said, taking a step toward her, wincing as the movement made the arrow shift.
Let me explain.
As she saw the blood trickle down his robes, saw the agony and fear and desperation in his eyes, her rage flickered.
Unchain him, she said, her voice filled with deadly calm. Now.
Archer refused to break her stare.
Hear me out first.
Unchain him now. Archer jerked his chin to the guard who had foolishly launched the last attack against her. Limping, but surprisingly still in one piece, and still possessing his twin blades, the guard slowly unshackled the captain of the guard. Kaol was on his feet in an instant, but she noted the way he swayed, the wince he tried to hide. Still, he managed to stare down the hooded guard who stood before him, eyes gleaming with the promise of violence. The guard just stepped back, reaching for his swords again.
You have one sentence to convince me not to kill you all, she said to Archer, as Kaol came to her side.
One sentence. Archer began shaking his head, looking between her and Kaol, his eyes filled not with fear or anger or pleading, but sorrow.
I have been working with Nehemia to lead these people for the past 6 months.
Kaol stiffened, but Selena blinked. It was enough for Archer to know he'd passed the test. He jerked his head to the men around him.
Leave us, he said,
his voice thundering with an authority she hadn't heard him use before. The men listened,
those still on their feet dragging their injured companions away. She didn't let herself consider how many were dead. The old man who had exposed his face to her was staring with a mixture of awe and disbelief, and she wondered what sort of monster she looked like at that moment. But when he noticed her attention, he bowed his head to her and left with the others, taking that impulsive, brash guard with him. Alone, she pointed her sword at Archer again, taking a step closer, keeping Kaol behind her. Of course, the captain of the guard stepped right up to her side. Archer said, "Nehemia and I have been leading this movement together. She came here to organize us, to assemble a group that could go into Terrasen and start gathering forces against the king, and to uncover what the king truly plans to do with Irelia." Kaol tensed, and Selena clamped down on her surprise. "That's impossible." Archer snorted. "Is it? Why is it that the princess is so busy all the time? Do you know where she goes at night?" The frozen rage flickered again, slowing, slowing, slowing the world down. And then she remembered. Remembered how Nehemia convinced her not to look into the riddle she'd found in Davis's office, and had been so slow and forgetful about her promise to research the riddle. Remembered the night Dorian had come to her rooms because Nehemia had been out, and he hadn't been able to find her anywhere in the castle. Remembered Nehemia's words to her before their fight, about how she had important matters in Rifthold to look after. Things as important as Eelwe. "She comes here," Archer said. "She comes here to feed us all of the information that you confide in her."
"If she's part of your group," Selena ground out, "then where is she?"
Archer drew his sword and pointed it at Kaol.
"Ask him."
A sharp pain twisted in her gut.
"What is he talking about?" she asked Kaol.
But Kaol was staring at Archer.
"I don't know."
"Lying bastard!" Archer snapped, and bared his teeth with a savagery that made him, for once, look anything but attractive. "My sources told me that the king informed you over a week ago of the threat to Nehemia's life. When were you planning on telling anyone about that?"
He turned to Selena.
"We brought him here because he was ordered to question Nehemia about her behavior. We wanted to know what kind of questions he'd been commanded to ask. And because we wanted you to see what sort of man he really is."
"That's not true," Kaol spat. "That's a damned lie. You haven't asked me one thing, you gutterborn piece of filth."
He turned pleading eyes to Selena. The words were still sinking in, each more awful than the next.
"I knew about the anonymous threat to Nehemia's life, yes, but I was told that she would be questioned by the king, not me."
"And we realized that," Archer said. "Moments before you arrived, Selena, we realized the captain wasn't the one. But it's not questioning that they're going to be doing tonight, is it, Captain?" Kaol didn't answer, and she didn't care why. She was pulling away from her body, inch by inch, like a tide ebbing from the shore.
"I just sent men to the castle a moment ago," Archer went on. "Perhaps they can stop it."
"Where is Nehemia?"
she heard herself asking, from lips that felt far away.
"That's what my spy discovered tonight.
Nehemia insisted on staying in the castle to see what kind of questions they wanted to ask her, to see how much they suspected and knew."
"Where is Nehemia?"
But Archer just shook his head, his eyes bright with tears.
"They aren't going to question her, Selena. And by the time my men get there, I think it will be too late."
"Too late?"
Selena turned to Kaol. His face was stricken and pale. Archer shook his head again.
"I'm sorry."
Chapter 29. Selena hurtled through the city streets, discarding her cloak and heavier weapons as she went. Anything to give her additional speed. Anything to get her back to the castle before Nehemia. Before Nehemia. A clock began sounding somewhere in the capital, and a lifetime passed between each booming peal. It was late enough that the streets were mostly deserted, but the people who saw her kept well out of her way as she sprinted past, her lungs nearly shattering.
She pushed that pain away, willing the strength into her legs, praying to whatever god still cared to give her swiftness and strength. Who would the king use? If not Kaol, then who? She didn't care if it was the king himself. She'd destroy them. And that anonymous threat to Nehemia, she'd sort that out, too. The glass castle loomed closer, its crystalline towers glowing with a palish green light. Not again, not again, she told herself with each step, each pound of her heart. Please. She couldn't take the front gate. The guards there would surely stop her or cause a ruckus that might prompt the unknown assassin to act faster. There was a high stone wall bordering one of the gardens. It was closer and far less monitored. She could have sworn she heard hooves thundering after her, but there was nothing in the world except her and the distance to Nehemia. She neared the stone wall surrounding the garden, her blood roaring in her ears as she made a running jump for it. She hit the side as silently as she could, her fingers and feet immediately finding purchase, digging in so hard her fingernails cracked. She scrambled up and over the wall before the guards even looked her way. She landed on the gravel path of the garden, falling onto her hands. Somewhere in the back of her mind, she registered pain in her palms, but she was already running again, careening toward the glass doors that led to the castle. Patches of snow glowed blue in the moonlight. She'd go to Nehemia's room first, go there and lock Nehemia up safely, and then take down the bastard who was coming for her. Archer's men could go to hell. She dispatched them in a matter of heartbeats. Whoever had been sent to hurt Nehemia, that person was hers. Hers to take apart bit by bit until she ended them. She would throw their remnants at the feet of the king. She flung open one of the glass doors. There were guards loitering about, but she'd picked this entrance because they knew her, and knew her face. She didn't expect to glimpse Dorian, though, chatting with them. His sapphire eyes were nothing more than a glimmer of color as she sprinted by. She could hear shouts from behind her, but she wouldn't stop, couldn't stop. Not again, never again. She hit the stairs, taking them by twos and threes, her legs trembling, just a bit farther. Nehemia's rooms were only one level up, and two hallways over. She was Otterlin's assassin. She was Selena Sardothian. She would not fail. The gods owed her. The word owed her. She would not fail Nehemia. Not when there were so many awful words left between them. Selena hit the top of the stairs. The shouts behind her grew. People were calling her name. She would stop for no one. She turned down the familiar hallway, nearly sobbing with relief at the sight of the wooden door. It was shut. There were no signs of forced entry. She drew her two remaining daggers, summoning the words she'd needed to quickly explain to Nehemia how and where to hide. When her assailant arrived, Nehemia's only task would be to keep quiet and concealed. Selena would deal with the rest, and she'd enjoy the hell out of it. She reached the door and slammed into it, exploding through the locks. The world slowed to the beat of an ancient, ageless drum. Selena beheld the room. The blood was everywhere. Before the bed, Nehemia's bodyguards lay with their throats cut from ear to ear, their internal organs spilling out onto the floor. And on the bed, she could hear the shouts growing closer, reaching the room, but their words were somehow muffled, as though she were underwater, the sounds coming from the surface above. Selena stood in the center of the freezing bedroom, gazing at the bed, and the princess's broken body atop it. Nehemia was dead. Part 2. The Queen's Arrow. Chapter 30. Selena stared at the body. An empty body, artfully mutilated, so cut up that the bed was almost black with blood. People had rushed into the room behind her, and she smelled the faint tang as someone was sick nearby. But she just stayed there, letting the others fan out around her as they rushed to assess the three cooling bodies in the room. That ancient, ageless drum, her heartbeat, pulsed through her ears, drowning out any sound. Nehemia was gone. That vibrant, fierce, loving soul, the princess who had been called the Light of Eelway, the woman who had been a beacon of hope. Just like that, as if she were no more than a wisp of candlelight, she was gone. When it had mattered most, Selena hadn't been there. Nehemia was gone. Someone murmured her name, but didn't touch her. There was a gleam of sapphire eyes in front of her, blocking out her vision of the bed and the dismembered body atop it. Dorian. Prince Dorian. There were tears running down his face. She reached out a hand to touch them. They were oddly warm against her freezing, distant fingers. Her nails were dirty, bloody, cracked. So gruesome against the smooth white cheek of the prince. And then that voice from behind her said her name again. Selena. They had done this. Her bloody fingers slid down Dorian's face to his neck. He just stared at her, suddenly still. Selena, that familiar voice said. A warning. They had done this. They had betrayed her, betrayed Nehemia. They had taken her away. Her nails brushed Dorian's exposed throat. Selena, the voice said. Selena slowly turned. Kaol stared at her, a hand on his sword, the sword she'd brought to the warehouse, the sword she'd left there. Archer had told her that Kaol had known they were going to do this. He had known. She shattered completely and launched herself at him. Kaol had only enough time to release his sword as she lunged, swiping for his face with a hand. She slammed him into the wall, and stinging pain burst from the four lines she gouged across his cheek with her nails. She reached for the dagger at her waist, but he grasped her wrist. Blood slid down his cheek, down his neck. His guards shouted, rushing closer, but he hooked a foot behind hers, twisting as he shoved, and threw her to the ground. "Stay back," he ordered them, but it cost him. Pinned beneath him, she slammed a fist up beneath his jaw so hard his teeth sang. And then she was snarling, snarling like some kind of wild animal as she snapped for his neck. He reared back, throwing her against the marble floor again. "Stop!" But the Selena he knew was gone. The girl he'd imagined as his wife, the girl he'd shared a bed with for the past week, was utterly gone. Her clothes and hands were caked with the blood of the men in the warehouse. She wedged a knee up, pounding it between his legs so hard he lost his grip on her. And then she was on top of him, dagger drawn, plunging down toward his chest. He grabbed her wrist again, crushing it in his hand as the blade hovered over his heart. Her whole body trembled with effort, trying to shove it the remaining few inches. She reached for her other dagger, but he caught that wrist too. "Stop," he gasped, winded from the blow she'd landed with her knee, trying to think past that blinding pain. "Selena, stop!" "Captain?" one of his men ventured. "Stay back," he snarled again. Selena threw her weight into the dagger she held aloft and gained an inch. His arms strained. She was going to kill him. She was truly going to kill him. He made himself look into her eyes, look at the face so twisted with rage that he couldn't find her. "Selena," he said, squeezing her wrist so hard that he hoped the pain registered somewhere, wherever she had gone. But she still wouldn't loosen her grip on the blade. "Selena, I'm your friend." She stared at him, panting through gritted teeth, her breath coming quicker and quicker before she roared, the sound filling the room, his blood, his world. "You will never be my friend. You will always be my enemy." She bellowed the last word with such soul-deep hatred that he felt it like a punch to the gut. She surged again, and he lost his grip on the wrist that held the dagger. The blade plunged down and stopped. There was a sudden chill in the room, and Selena's hand just stopped, as though it had been frozen in midair. Her eyes left his face, but Kaol couldn't see who it was she hissed at. For a heartbeat, it seemed as if she was thrashing against some invisible force. But then Ress was behind her, and she was too busy struggling to notice, as the guard slammed the pommel of his sword into her head.
as Selena fell atop him. A part of Kaol fell along with her.
Chapter 31. Dorian knew that Kaol had no choice, no other way out of the situation, as his friend carried Selena out of that bloody chamber into the servant stairwell, and down, down, down until they reached the castle dungeons. He tried not to look at Caltaine's curious half-mad face as Kaol laid Selena in the cell beside hers, as he locked the cell door. "Let me give her my cloak," Dorian said, reaching to unfasten it.
"Don't,"
Kaol said quietly. His face was still bleeding. She'd gouged 4 lines across his cheek with her nails.
Her nails, gods above. "I don't trust her with anything in there except hay."
Kaol had already taken the time to remove her remaining weapons, including 6 lethal-looking hairpins from her braid, and checked her boots and tunic for any hidden ones. Caltaine was smiling faintly at Selena.
"Don't touch her, don't talk to her, and don't look at her," Kaol said, as if there wasn't a wall of bars separating the two women.
Caltaine just huffed and curled up on her side. Kaol barked orders to the guards about food and water rations, and how often the watch was to be changed, and then stalked from the dungeon. Dorian silently followed. He didn't know where to begin. There was grief sweeping down on him in waves, as he realized again and again that Nehemia was dead. There was the sickness and terror of what he'd seen in that bedroom, and there was the horror and relief that he'd somehow used his power to stop Selena's hand before she stabbed Kaol, and that no one except Selena had noticed. And when she'd hissed at him, he'd seen something so savage in her eyes that he shuddered. They were halfway up the winding stone stairs out of the dungeons when Kaol suddenly slumped onto a step, putting his head in his hands.
"What have I done?"
Kaol whispered. And despite whatever was changing between them, he couldn't walk away from Kaol. Not tonight. Not when he, too, needed someone to sit next to.
"Tell me what happened,"
Dorian said quietly, taking a seat on the stair beside him and staring into the gloom of the stairwell. So Kaol did. Dorian listened to his tale of kidnapping, of some rebel group trying to use him to get Selena to trust them, of Selena breaking into the warehouse and cutting down men like they were nothing. How the king had told Kaol of an anonymous threat to Nehemia a week ago and ordered him to keep an eye on Nehemia. How the king wanted the princess questioned and told Kaol to keep Selena away tonight. And then Archer, the man she'd been dispatched to kill weeks ago, explaining that it had been code for Nehemia being assassinated. And then how Selena ran from the slums all the way back here, to find that she'd been too late to save her friend. There were things Kaol still wasn't telling him, but Dorian understood it well enough. His friend was trembling, which was a horror in itself, another foundation slipping out from beneath their feet.
"I've never seen anyone move like she did," Kaol breathed. "I've never seen anyone run that fast. Dorian, it was like..."
Kaol shook his head.
"I found a horse within seconds of her taking off, and she still outran me. Who can do that?"
Dorian might have dismissed it as a warped sense of time due to fear and grief, but he'd had magic coursing through his veins only moments ago.
"I didn't know this would happen,"
Kaol said, resting his forehead against his knees.
"If your father..."
"It wasn't my father," Dorian said. "I dined with my parents tonight." He'd just come from that dinner when Selena went flying past, hell burning in her eyes. That look had been enough for him to run after her, guards in tow, until Kaol nearly collided with them in the halls. "My father said he was going to talk to Nehemia later on, after dinner. From what I saw, this happened hours before that."
"But if your father didn't want her dead, who did? I had extra patrols on alert for any threat. I picked those men myself. Whoever did this got through them like they were nothing. Whoever did this..."
Dorian tried not to think of the murder scene. One of Kaol's guards had taken a look at the 3 bodies and vomited all over the floor. And Selena had just stood there, staring at Nehemia, as if she'd been sucked out of herself.
"Whoever did this got some kind of sick delight out of it,"
Kaol finished. The bodies flashed through Dorian's mind again, carefully, artfully arranged.
What does it mean, though?
It was easier to keep talking than to really consider what had happened. The way Selena had looked at him without really seeing him, the way she'd wiped away his tears with a finger, then grazed her nails across his neck, as though she could sense the pulsing life's blood beneath. And when she'd launched herself at Kaol. "How long will you keep her here?" Dorian said, looking down the stairs. She had attacked the captain of the guard in front of his men. Worse than attacked.
"As long as it takes,"
Kaol said quietly.
"For what?"
"For her to decide not to kill us all." Selena knew where she was before she awoke, and she didn't care. She was living the same story again and again. The night she'd been captured, she'd also snapped, and come so close to killing the person she most wanted to destroy before someone knocked her out and she awoke in a rotting dungeon. She smiled bitterly as she opened her eyes. It was always the same story, the same loss. A plate of bread and soft cheese, along with an iron cup of water, lay on the floor on the other side of the cell. Selena sat up, her head throbbing, and felt the bump on the side of her skull.
"I always knew you'd wind up here,"
Caltaine said from the cell beside hers.
"Did their royal highnesses tire of you, too?"
Selena pulled the tray closer, then leaned against the stone wall behind the pallet of hay.
"I tired of them," she said.
"Did you kill anyone particularly deserving?"
Selena snorted, closing her eyes against the pounding in her mind.
"Almost."
She could feel the stickiness of the blood on her hands and beneath her nails. Kaol's blood. She hoped the four scratches scarred. She hoped she would never see him again. If she did, she'd kill him. He'd known the king wanted to question Nehemia. He'd known that the king, the most brutal and murderous monster in the world, had wanted to question her friend. And he hadn't told her, hadn't warned her. It wasn't the king, though. No. She had gathered enough in the few minutes she'd been in that bedroom to know this wasn't his handiwork. But Kaol had still been warned about the anonymous threat, had been aware that someone wanted to hurt Nehemia, and he hadn't told her. He was so stupidly honorable and loyal to the king that he didn't even think she could have done something to prevent this. She had nothing left to give. After she'd lost Sam and been sent to Endovir, she'd pieced herself back together in the bleakness of the mines. And when she'd come here, she'd been foolish enough to think that Kaol had put the final piece into place. Foolish enough to think, just for a moment, that she could get away with being happy. But death was her curse and her gift, and death had been her good friend these long, long years.
"They killed Nehemia,"
she whispered into the dark, needing someone, anyone, to hear that the once bright soul had been extinguished. To know that Nehemia had been here, on this earth, and she had been all that was good and brave and wonderful. Caltaine was silent for a long moment. Then she said quietly, as if she were trading one piece of misery for another,
"Duke Parrington is going to Morath in 5 days, and I am to go with him. The king told me I can either marry him or rot down here for the rest of my life."
Selena turned her head, opening her eyes to find Caltaine sitting against the wall, grasping her knees. She was even dirtier and more haggard than she'd been a few weeks ago. She still clutched Selena's cloak around her. Selena said,
"You betrayed the Duke. Why would he want you for his wife?"
Caltaine laughed quietly.
"Who knows what games these people play, and what ends they have in mind?"
She rubbed her dirty hands on her face.
"My headaches are worse," she mumbled. "And those wings, they never stop."
"My dreams have been filled with shadows and wings," Nehemia had said.
"Caltaine, too." "What has one to do with the other?" Selena demanded, the words sharp and hollow. Caltaine blinked, raising her brows as though she had no idea what she'd said.
"How long will they keep you here?" she asked.
"For trying to kill the captain of the guard? Forever, perhaps. She wouldn't care. Let them execute her.
Let them put an end to her, too.
Nehemia had been the hope of a kingdom, of many kingdoms. The court Nehemia had dreamed of would never be. Eelway would never be free. Selena would never get the chance to tell her that she was sorry for the things she'd said. All that would remain were the last words Nehemia had spoken to her. The last thing her friend had thought of her.
You are nothing more than a coward.
If they let you out, Kaltain said, both of them staring into the blackness of their prisons. Make sure that they're punished someday. Every last one of them.
Selena listened to her own breathing. She felt Kaol's blood under her nails, and the blood of all those men she'd hacked down, and the coldness of Nehemia's room, where all that gore had soaked the bed. They will be. Selena swore to the darkness. She had nothing left to give, except that. It would have been better if she'd stayed in Endovir, better to have died there. Her body didn't quite feel like hers when she pulled the tray of food toward her, the metal scraping against the old, damp stones. She wasn't even hungry.
They drugged the water with a sedative,
Kaltain said as Selena reached for the iron cup.
That's what they do for me, too.
Good, Selena said, and drank the entire thing. 3 days passed, and every meal they brought her was drugged with that sedative. Selena stared into the abyss that now filled her dreams, both sleeping and awake. The forest on the other side was gone, and there was no stag. Only barren terrain all around, crumbling rocks and a vicious wind that whispered the words again and again. You are nothing more than a coward. So Selena drank the drugged water every time they offered it, and let it sweep her away.
She drank the water about an hour ago, Ress said to Kaol on the morning of the fourth day.
Kaol nodded. She was unconscious on the floor, her face gaunt.
Has she been eating?
A bite or two. She hasn't tried to escape, and she hasn't said one word to us either. Kaol unlocked the cell door, and Ress and the other guards tensed. But he couldn't bear another moment without seeing her. Kaltain was asleep next door and didn't stir as he strode across Selena's cell. He knelt by Selena. She reeked of old blood, and her clothes were stiff with it. His throat tightened. In the castle above, it had been sheer pandemonium for the past several days. He had men combing the castle and city for Nehemia's assassin. He had gone before the king multiple times already to try to explain what happened, how he'd gotten himself kidnapped, and how even with extra men watching Nehemia, someone had slipped past them all. He was stunned the king hadn't dismissed him, or worse. The worst part was that the king seemed smug. He hadn't had to dirty his hands to get rid of a problem. His main annoyance was dealing with the uproar that was sure to happen in Eelway. He hadn't spared one moment to mourn Nehemia, or shown one flicker of remorse. It had taken a surprising amount of self-control for Kaol not to throttle his own sovereign. But more than just his fate relied on his submission and good behavior. When Kaol had explained Selena's situation to the king, he had barely looked surprised. He'd just said to get her in line, and left it at that. Get her in line. Kaol gently picked up Selena, trying not to grunt at the weight, and carried her out of the cell. He'd never forgive himself for throwing her in this rotting dungeon, even though he hadn't had a choice. He hadn't even let himself sleep in his own bed, the bed that still smelled like her. He'd laid down on it that first night and realized what she was lying on, and opted for his couch instead. The least he could do right now was get her back to her own rooms. But he didn't know how to get her in line. He didn't know how to fix what had been broken, both inside of her and between them. His men flanked him as he brought her up to her rooms. Nehemia's death hung around him, followed his every step. It had been days since he'd dared look in the mirror. Even if it hadn't been the king who had ordered Nehemia dead, if Kaol had warned Selena about the unknown threat, at least she would have been looking out. If he'd warned Nehemia, her men would have been on alert too.
Sometimes the reality of his decision hit him so hard he couldn't breathe. And then there was this reality. The reality he held in his arms as Ress opened the door to her rooms. Philippa was already waiting, beckoning him to the bathing chamber. He hadn't even thought of that, that Selena might need to be cleaned up before getting into bed. He couldn't meet the servant's gaze as he walked into the bathing chamber, because he knew the truth he'd find there. He'd realized it the moment Selena had turned to him in Nehemia's bedroom. He had lost her, and she would never, in a thousand lifetimes, let him in again.
Chapter 32. Selena awoke in her own bed, and knew there would be no more sedatives in her water. There would be no more breakfast conversations with Nehemia, nor would there be any more lessons on the word marks. There would be no more friends like her. She knew without looking that someone had scrubbed her clean, blinking against the brightness of the sunlight in her room, her head instantly pounding after days in the darkness of the dungeon. She found Fleetfoot sleeping pressed against her. The dog lifted her head to lick Selena's arm a few times before going back to sleep, her nose nestled between Selena's elbow and torso. She wondered if Fleetfoot could sense the loss, too. She'd often wondered if Fleetfoot loved the princess more than her.
"You are nothing more than a coward."
She couldn't blame Fleetfoot. Outside of this rotten, festering court and kingdom, the rest of the world had loved Nehemia. It was hard not to. Selena had adored Nehemia from the moment she'd laid eyes on her, like they were twin souls who had at last found each other, a soul friend. And now she was gone. Selena put a hand against her chest. How absurd, how utterly absurd and useless that her heart still beat and Nehemia's didn't. The eye of Elena was warm, as if trying to offer some comfort. Selena let her hand drop back to her mattress. She didn't even try to get out of bed that day, after Philippa coaxed her into eating and let slip that she'd missed Nehemia's funeral. She'd been too busy guzzling down sedatives and hiding from her grief in the dungeons to be present when they put her friend in the cold earth, so far from the sun-warmed soil of Ilway. "You are nothing more than a coward." So Selena didn't get out of bed that day, and she didn't get out of it the next. Or the next. Or the next.